it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Megan Lynch. Thanks for listening to Total Information AM here on KMOX. The FBI says there's been an increase in threats and hoaxes targeting some schools and government officials following the shooting death of conservative political activist Charlie Kirk last week. CBS News Justice Department correspondent Scott McFarland joins us now from Washington, D.C. Scott, what have you learned so far about these threats?
Well, the threats are universal to a degree. I mean, they're happening to judges. They're happening to federal employees in some cases, federal officials more often, and then legislators, members of Congress and members of state legislatures. And there is such a universal and profound increase in these threats that they're thinking of spending tens of millions of dollars in the coming days to bolster security and protection for federal officials. That would be in the judiciary and in the executive branch. And Congress is trying to be mindful of its own protection. Listen to this number. The U.S. Capitol Police Chief says already this year, already, there have been 14,000 threat investigations involving members of Congress. That is literally five times more threats than they had just a few years ago. And there are so many, Megan, they can't chase down every single one and investigate it from soup to nuts.
As you know, right now, there's a really broad public discussion about who's behind, you know, ramping up political rhetoric. You know, how much does this news now raise the risk of even more political violence?
I think there's a broad understanding that this can metastasize and can metastasize quickly. That if you have this contagion, not just of political violence, but of this type of violence where people become famous, you know, putting etchings in their shell casings, putting a signature on the shooting, there's a concern of a one-upsmanship that, you know, became quite common with concerns of school shootings. And now this is spreading into the world of politically laced violence. But I tell you, we have some caution that just because there's a violent actor in the political space or a violent threat in the political space doesn't mean that those people fall down traditional lines of politics. For example, the person who shot at and wounded President Trump last July in Pennsylvania was reportedly looking for information on Joe Biden's whereabouts, too, and didn't leave fingerprints of any type of political rhetoric or political history.
What does all this mean for law enforcement right now?
Oh, it's a huge burden. Local police, state police. Do you pull a police chief aside and say, how much busier are you dealing with hoaxes, swattings, doxings, and threats? They'll tell you a lot busier than we used to be in most cases. And if this cascades into more threats, hoaxes, or genuine threats, it's local police who have to respond. Now, that's a burden that they're sworn to carry, but it's also a danger for law enforcement. When you talk about swattings, you know, we've seen these in Missouri. You talk about swattings when police get false calls of emergencies as somebody tries to menace someone else. And sometimes it can get violent by accident, if not by intent.
That is CBS News Justice Department correspondent Scott McFarland. Thank you so much for your time.
Anytime, Megan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.